This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11, man's first landing on the moon.
I'm Neil Armstrong, Commander, Apollo 11.
I'm Michael Collins, Command Module Pilot, Apollo 11.
I'm Edwin E. Aldrin, Jr., Lunar Module Pilot, on the mission Apollo 11.
Those are the three astronauts who will begin their history-making lunar landing mission in about 30 minutes from now at 13 hours 32 GMT. Apollo 11 Commander Neil Armstrong, Command Module Pilot Michael Collins, and Lunar Module Pilot Edwin Aldrin, Jr. The astronauts have been in their spacecraft perched atop the big Saturn V rocket for more than 2.5 hours now. Let's get a first status report from Cape Kennedy and correspondent Rhett Turner.
Here at Cape Kennedy, we have just passed the 30-minute mark in the countdown toward launch at 32 minutes past the hour. The tanks are full on the great Saturn rocket, and we can now see the smoke billowing from the side of the rocket. That's liquid hydrogen and oxygen boiling off. Astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin and Collins are aboard the spacecraft, and we're listening to a report from Mission Control giving us final countdown procedures from the launch pad out there. Over 1 million people are listening and watching here at Cape Kennedy as we prepare for this historic journey to the moon. It's hard to describe the excitement of this event. We'll be broadcasting more from here at Cape Kennedy. This is Rhett Turner.
We'll be returning to Cape Kennedy for Rhett Turner's description of the Apollo 11 launch, and we'll interrupt at any time for further reports from Jack King at Apollo Launch Control. This program is originating in Washington. We will return to our live Voice of America coverage of the mission of Apollo 11 following this report of late world news.
The chairman of the United States Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Earl Wheeler, has arrived in Saigon to assess the military situation in view of the current lull in combat. The commander of United States forces in the Pacific, Admiral John S. McCain, is also in the South Vietnamese capital to join in the consultations. The only ground action reported was an attempt by the North Vietnamese Tuesday to ambush an American convoy northeast of Saigon. The communists withdrew after reinforcements and helicopter gunships arrived. The United States command reported 16 enemy shellings Tuesday night and early today, none of them resulting in serious casualties or damage. United States Defense Secretary Melvin Laird says the fighting lull in Vietnam may mean that progress has been made toward peace. Speaking before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Mr. Laird was optimistic over the decline in casualties, but he cautioned that there have been lulls in the fighting before. Secretary Laird said the Nixon administration will decide by mid-August whether to pull American troops out of Vietnam at a faster rate. India's acting president, V.V. Giri, says he will resign soon to become an active candidate for the presidency, according to Radio Delhi. Mr. Giri has been acting president of India since the death of President Hussein. Earlier this week, Mr. Giri said he would seek election to the presidency, although he failed to obtain the endorsement of his ruling Congress party. Lebanon said an Israeli patrol this morning penetrated 1 kilometer into Lebanese territory near the village of Majidya and blew up 3 houses. There is no word from Israel on the incident. A Lebanese military spokesman in Beirut said United Nations observers are investigating. Israel reported one of its soldiers killed in dusk-to-dawn exchanges of gunfire across the central section of the Suez Canal last night. A team from the Organization of American States is investigating the fighting between El Salvador and Honduras. There is no immediate report on the team's progress following its arrival in San Salvador last night. El Salvador and Honduras both reported fighting at several points inside Honduras yesterday. Prices on the New York stock market fell to their second new low record for the year yesterday. The Dow Jones selection of leading issues has gone down more than 11 points in the past 2 days. That's the news from the Voice of America newsroom. This is Bob White reporting.
This is the Voice of America's Apollo 11 News Center. We are on the air to bring you live coverage of the launch of Apollo 11 at Cape Kennedy. Throughout this 8-day lunar landing mission, we will bring you direct broadcasts of every major event in the flight. The prime mission of Apollo 11 is very simply stated: perform a manned lunar landing and return. This mission objective was set down 8 years and 2 months ago by the late President John F. Kennedy when he set the goal of landing men on the moon by the end of this decade. Now, on this fifth manned Apollo flight, the third to the moon, American astronauts are ready to try a landing on the surface of the moon. The three Apollo 11 astronauts have stated briefly and clearly the objectives of this flight. First, Commander Neil Armstrong.
Apollo 11 is man's first attempt to demonstrate the ability to go to the moon, to land there, and to return to Earth.
Now, Command Module Pilot Michael Collins.
Well, the whole Apollo program was, of course, designed to get two Americans to the lunar surface and back again to Earth safely. Apollo 11 is no more or no less than the culmination of the build-up flights, the sixth or the fifth manned flight. We've had 4 preliminary flights, and now we're prepared with Apollo 11 to go on and to make a success of that landing and return.
And Lunar Module Pilot Edwin Aldrin.
Apollo 11 has very simply been given the mission of carrying men to the moon, landing them there, and bringing them safely back. And this is the way we would like to view this. What additional information we are able to bring back, we will do to the utmost of our ability in carrying out that primary objective of landing and returning safely.
Apollo 11 astronauts Armstrong, Collins, and Aldrin on the purposes for this moon landing mission. This is William McCrory reporting from VOA's Apollo News Center in Washington. Today, the Voice of America brings you live coverage of the launch of Apollo 11, scheduled for 13 hours 32 GMT. I'll be joined here by my co-host, Norman Guerin of our VOA staff, and by 2 old friends and colleagues from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. They are John Hammersmith, Senior Systems Engineer, and at the launch site at Cape Kennedy, William Land, Apollo Missions Engineer. Also from Cape Kennedy, you'll hear from Brett Turner, our VOA correspondent on the scene. Later, Turner will join correspondents Edward Hickey and James Miller at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas. This 8-day mission of Apollo 11, which begins on Launch Pad 39A at Cape Kennedy, in about 21 minutes from now, is the climax of 8 years' work by some 400,000 people and 20 pioneering flights by American astronauts. The Apollo 11 flight plan is almost identical to that of Apollo 10, flown in May, with one big exception: descent to the moon's surface, landing, and EVA, the actual walking on the moon for 2 hours and 40 minutes by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, Jr. The flight plan goes something like this. After launch into an Earth parking orbit of 185 kilometers, the Apollo spacecraft, still attached to the third stage of the big Saturn rocket, the S-4B, will be boosted out of Earth orbit on its 3-day trip to the moon. Then on Saturday, July 19th, the Apollo spacecraft will arrive at the moon. The main engine of the command module, Columbia, will be fired to slow down the spacecraft and place it in a 111 by 314 kilometer orbit around the moon. Later, this will be circularized to about 100 by 122 kilometers. Then on Sunday, July 20th, at about 17 hours 42 GMT, the lunar module, Eagle, will undock from the command and service module, Columbia, beginning the most dramatic part of this flight, the LEM's descent and landing on the moon at about 20 hours 19 GMT. The lunar landing craft will remain on the surface of the moon about 22 hours. During this period, on Monday, July 21st, at about 6 hours 17 GMT, Neil Armstrong will put his foot on the moon's surface. Then later on Monday, at 17 hours 55 GMT, that very important firing of the lunar module's ascent engine to take Armstrong and Aldrin back to the mothership Columbia, still orbiting the moon at about 100 kilometers above the surface. Then, very early Tuesday morning, July 22nd, we'll have another firing of the command module's main engine to take the craft out of lunar orbit and on its way back to Earth. Splashdown in the mid-Pacific Ocean on Thursday, July 24th at 16 hours 51 GMT. Norman Garrett?
I believe at this point we should introduce our colleagues from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Two old friends who have been with us on almost all of the Apollo manned missions. First, John Hammersmith, senior systems engineer who is with us here in our Apollo News Center in Washington. John, Apollo 11 is almost identical to Apollo 10, but along the line, the flight plan changes drastically. Tell us how and where and when.
Yes, Norm, that drastic change is the really important one, because the difference in flight plans between the two flights is that this one calls for an actual landing on the moon, whereas Apollo 10 went almost to that point, went down to about 15 kilometers of the lunar surface, but did not land. The Apollo 10 was a dress rehearsal for this flight.
Our other colleague from NASA is William Land, Apollo missions engineer. Bill Land is at the Cape Kennedy launch site for this broadcast. And Bill, at this particular moment, how do things look for you at the Cape as we near launch time?
Well, things look real good, Norm, down here at the Cape. The spacecraft has gone through all its checkout. The entire space vehicle has looked very good throughout its several days of countdown. And the final countdown here, nearing the launch in another 18 minutes. Right now you can look out over the vast 3 miles here, expanse, and see the first stage venting its liquid oxygen, and everything is on time and ready to go, and we're looking forward to a successful launch and a successful mission.
Bill Land and John Hammersmith will be talking with you often during the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11.
The Apollo 11 launch countdown is proceeding on schedule. We're now about 18 minutes from launch at Cape Kennedy. In a moment, we'd like to bring you an interview with Neil Armstrong, an interview recorded a few days ago by correspondent Rhett Turner. But I think first we should go to Cape Kennedy for a status report and correspondent Rhett Turner.
18 minutes and 2 seconds. We can now say 18 minutes until liftoff of Apollo 11. We're watching that liquid oxygen burn off or boil off the top of the first stage engines right in front of us. As the count continues, everything is looking good. All of the reports from launch control, Jack King here at Cape Kennedy, and from mission control in Houston show that everything is going well. All of the countdown procedures are right within tolerances, and the full count is going exactly on schedule. There's been only one anomaly in all of the coverage of this procedure here at the Cape, too. The Communications Satellite Corporation had a satellite to go out over the Atlantic Ocean a few weeks ago and had hoped that they could rechannel some of their communications between this country, between the Western Hemisphere and Europe, through an Atlantic satellite so that Latin American nations could have live television coverage of this liftoff. Unfortunately, the Apollo Program Office, the NASA Communications Network, found that it could not release some of the tracking and data circuits that are vital to the Apollo mission in order that that TV could be turned on those same, utilizing those same channels. Unfortunately, this was not resolved until last night, as a matter of fact, and there are some very disappointed Latin American broadcasters, television people here today who are very upset over that, and everyone apologizes for it. It was simply a matter of not being able to launch the flight at all for without these vital tracking and communication circuits that NASA needs through the communication satellite, or it was either that or television. And unfortunately, here's launch control.
Less than 16 minutes away from the planned liftoff of the Apollo 11 space vehicle, all still going well with the countdown at this time. The astronauts aboard the spacecraft have had a little chance to rest over the last few minutes or so. At least they haven't been busy with procedures with the spacecraft test conductor. In the meantime, we have been performing final checks on the tracking beacons in the instrument unit, which is used as the guidance system during the powered phase of flight. Once we get down to the 3 minute and 10 second mark in the countdown, we'll go on an automatic sequence. As far as the launch vehicle is concerned, all aspects from there on down will be automatic, run by the ground master computer here in the firing room. This will lead up to the 8.9 minute mark in the countdown when the ignition sequence will begin in those five engines of the first stage, the S1C stage of the Saturn V. At the 2 second mark, we'll get information and a signal that all engines are running, and at the zero mark in the countdown, once we get the commit signal, the signal that says that the thrust is proper and acceptable, we then will get a commit and lift off as the hold down arms release the vehicle. We have some 7.6 million pounds of thrust pushing the vehicle upward, a vehicle that weighs close to 6.5 million pounds. We're now at 14 minutes, 30 seconds and counting. This is Kennedy Launch Control.
That was Launch Control Jack King with that status report, and that brings you right up to the moment on the situation. Countdown continues at Cape Kennedy now with 14 minutes until launch time.
Well, Rhett Turner, we'll ask you to stand by, of course, at Cape Kennedy. We'll come back at any time there are further reports from Jack King at Apollo Launch Control. But while we're waiting for these reports, Norm Guerin, could you give us the broadcast meter bands for the VOA's worldwide coverage of the launch of Apollo 11?
Listeners in Europe should tune to the 11, 13, 16, 19, 31, 41, and 75 meter bands shortwave, and on 251 meter bands medium wave. In Latin America, on the 13 and 16 meter bands. To Africa, the 11, 13, 16, 19, 25, and 49 meter bands shortwave. To the Middle East, the 13, 16, and 19 meter bands shortwave, and 238 meters medium wave. We are broadcasting to South Asia on the 11, 13, 19, 25, and 41 meter band shortwave. This broadcast can be heard in East Asia and the Pacific on the 19, 25, 31, 41, and 49 meter bands shortwave. Those are the broadcast bands for the Voice of America's coverage of the launch of Apollo 11.
We're waiting for further reports from Apollo Launch Control at Cape Kennedy. The three astronauts have been in their spacecraft almost 3 hours now, making their final checkouts, preparing for the launch of that huge Saturn V rocket, standing there about 363 feet in the air, or about 110 meters. As we mentioned earlier, Rhett Turner recorded an interview with the Apollo 11 commander Neil Armstrong a few days ago in Houston. He describes, Armstrong does, for correspondent Rhett Turner, just what the three astronauts are doing at this moment in their spacecraft just before launch.
Neil, during those last few minutes before liftoff at the Cape, you and the rest of the crew are quite busy checking the systems, last-minute things, preparatory to liftoff. Could you run down what you and the other pilots are doing?
Yes. The
systems have been set up by our backup crew, the alternate crew, shortly before our entrance into the vehicle. But some of the systems must not be put into their final configuration until shortly before launch. The flight configuration of gas is placed in the cabin after the hatch has been closed, and the flight control systems must be activated into the final launch sequence. And this is a fairly busy time for us, and we have the opportunity also to check the status of all the systems that have already been configured by the crews ahead of us.
What does a liftoff feel like? You've been into space before.
It's a very pleasant but definite sensation in the Gemini spacecraft, and I'm told by the people who've flown the mighty Saturn that it's very much the same way. There's a great amount of noise, and particularly on the outside it's noticeable. However, communications are possible in the inside the cockpit, and we are generally reporting on the events as they occur to our compatriots at Control Center here in Houston. The main job of the crew in the launch period is assuring themselves and the people on the ground that everything is continuing as expected, and be prepared to discontinue the launch should any unforgivable malfunction occur.
Is it safe to say that your focus of attention is on contingencies, really, through those?
It really is completely focused on taking care of abnormalities that may occur during the launch. Now, as you know, these launches are done automatically, but in the last two spacecraft, that is Apollo 10 and Apollo 11, we have the ability to fly the booster manually with the control stick into orbit and onto the moon should a failure in the booster's launch guidance system require it.
With a good, safe launch, good luck on the rest of the mission.
Thank you very much.
Astronaut Neil Armstrong describing just what he is doing right now inside the spacecraft in these final minutes before liftoff. Now some 9.5 minutes before launch. But now, let's go back to Cape Kennedy and correspondent Rhett Turner for a further report.
Bill, you're right. 9 minutes and 17 seconds until liftoff here at the Cape. We're watching the countdown clock as it ticks away. A clock that we have here synchronized with that in launch control. The smoke or liquid oxygen is continuing to vaporize into a white fog and boil off in great amounts. In other words, these huge tanks in the first stage of the Saturn V rocket are filled to overflowing and fully pressurized. Also, the kerosene fuel is aboard, and these first stage engines, these F1 engines, are ready to fire. Over 7.5 million pounds of thrust to lift some 6 million pounds into the air. Bill Land, what do you think as you sit right here and look at this final minute or two before liftoff?
Well, one thing that impresses me right now, Red, is that we've got excellent weather. Yesterday it was predicted that we would have some overcast and probably wouldn't see this launch much up above 600, 700, or 800 feet. However, the clouds are few and high and the sun is bright, and it's a beautiful day for a launch, and things are going so smoothly that we'll just have to wait another 7 minutes or...
In fact, it is already getting so hot that if we don't think of it, we're usually too excited at this point and too occupied with the events in front of us on the launch pad to realize that the sun is reaching the 90 degree Fahrenheit mark as it burns down on us here in the morning light at the Kennedy Space Center on the sands of Cape Kennedy. It's going to be a real scorcher of a day. Almost all of the clouds have dissipated. There's almost no wind at all. There's an American flag on the flagpole in front of the press bleacher stand, and it isn't moving at all. There is just enough breeze out there on the launch pad coming off the ocean. The launch pad is just within, several hundred meters, about 1,000 meters from the actual ocean lapping on the shore, and there's just enough breeze there to cause the overflowing liquid oxygen to dissipate and to float off in a very slow fog off to the west what little breeze there is out there on the launch pad is coming from the east off the ocean, and we understand the seas are quite calm and good in the recovery area all the way out downrange. The rocket will take off on a 72 degree azimuth out to the east. If mission control comes in, we will interrupt at any moment. That countdown clock has now reached 6 minutes and 30 seconds. 6 minutes, 30 seconds until liftoff. The clock continuing to count. And we're waiting to hear from mission control. Yes, Bill.
The next major event will be the removal of the Apollo access arm, which right now is in the park position, 5 degrees away from the cabin. It will move back all the way to its fully retracted position at about T-minus 5 minutes, and from that point on, we'll be in the final countdown sequence.
Just about a meter and a half away from the hatch up there, so that here's launch control.
Past the six-minute mark in our countdown for Apollo 11. Now 5 minutes, 52 seconds and counting. We're on time at the present time for our planned liftoff of 32 minutes past the hour. Spacecraft test conductor Skip Chauvin now has completed the status check of his personnel in the control room. All report they are go for the mission, and this has been reported to the test supervisor, Bill Shipp. The test supervisor now going through some status checks. Launch operations manager Paul Donnelly reports go for launch. Launch director Rocco Patrone now gives a go. We're 5 minutes, 20 seconds and counting. Coming up shortly, that swing arm up at the spacecraft level will come back to its fully retracted position. This should occur at the 5 minute mark in the count. In the meantime, the lunar module telemetry has been powered down. We took a good look at Eagle, and it looks good. The spacecraft test conductor for the lunar module reported that Eagle was go. The swing arm now coming back to its fully retracted position as our countdown continues. T-minus 4 minutes, 50 seconds, and counting. Skip Chauvin informing the astronauts that the swing arm now coming back. The astronauts will have a few more reports coming up in the countdown. The last business report will be from Neil Armstrong at the 45-second mark in the count when he gives a status on the final alignment of the stabilization and control system. We're now passing the 4-minute, 30-second mark in the countdown. Still go at this time.
Jack King in mission control.
Seconds, the test supervisor now is informed. Launch vehicle test conductor Norm Carlson, you are go for launch. From this time down, Carlson handles the countdown as the launch vehicle begins to build up. We're now hitting the 4 minute mark. 4 minutes and counting, we are go for Apollo 11. We'll go on an automatic sequence starting at 3 minutes and 7 seconds.
More smoke pouring out, two great plumes.
5 seconds and counting. In the final abort checks between several key members of the crew here in the control center and the astronauts, launch operations manager Paul Donnelly wished the crew on the launch team's behalf good luck and Godspeed. 3 minutes, 25 seconds and counting. We're still go at this time. We'll be coming up on the automatic sequence about 10 or 15 seconds from this time. All still go at this time. Neil Armstrong reported back when he received the good wishes. Thank you very much. We know it will be a good flight. Firing command coming in now. We are on the automatic sequence. We're approaching the 3 minute mark in the count. T minus three minutes and counting. T minus three. We are go with all elements of the mission at this time. We're on an automatic sequence as the master computer supervises hundreds of events occurring over these last few minutes. T-minus 2 minutes, 45 seconds and counting. The members of the launch team here in the control center monitoring a number of what we call red line values. These are tolerances we don't want to go above and below in temperatures and pressures. They're standing by to call out any deviations from our plans. 2 minutes, 30 seconds and counting. We're still go on Apollo 11 at this time. The vehicle starting to pressurize as far as the propellant tanks are concerned, and all is still go as we monitor our status board.
Launch control, Jack King talking.
2 minutes, 10 seconds and counting.
Everything running automatically.
The Apollo 11 astronauts, the moon at liftoff will be at a distance of 218,096 miles away. We're just past the 2-minute mark on the countdown. T-minus 1 minute, 54 seconds and counting. Our status board indicates that the oxidizer tanks in the second and third stages now have pressurized. We continue to build up pressure in all three stages here at the last minute to prepare it for a liftoff. T-minus 1 minute, 35 seconds on the Apollo mission, the flight to land the first men on the moon. All indications coming in to the control center at this time indicate we are go. 1 minute, 25 seconds and counting. Our status board indicates the third stage completely pressurized. 80-second mark has now been passed. We'll go on full internal power at the 50-second mark in the countdown. Guidance system goes on internal at 17 seconds, leading up to the ignition sequence at 8.9 seconds. We're approaching the 60-second mark on the Apollo 11 mission. T-minus 60 seconds and counting. We pass T-minus 60.
We'll see 55
fire. 55 seconds and counting.
We'll see fire at 8 seconds.
Neil Armstrong just reported back. It's been a real smooth countdown. We passed the 50-second mark. Power transfer is complete. We're on internal power with the launch vehicle at this time. 40 seconds away from the Apollo 11 liftoff.
Everyone standing on their feet.
Tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still go with Apollo 11. 30 seconds and counting. Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds.
Thousands standing here watching.
20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3.
There's the fire.
2, 1, 0. All engines
running.
There it running.
Is. It is burning.
Lift
it's
off.
Moving.
We have a liftoff. 32 minutes.
The rocket is lifting off the pad.
Apollo 11.
It yawed slightly. It's cleared the tower.
Power cleared.
Houston takes over now.
Armstrong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper heading.
It's lifting beautifully into the sky. A typically beautiful Saturn V launch. What a roar. A great flame over twice the length. Going right into the sun, too, from our viewpoint. Picking up speed now, moving some maximum pressure. About another minute for these main engines to burn. Right into the sun.
This is Charlesworth taking a staging status.
Houston, you are go for staging.
Go for staging, meaning that the first stage is completing its burn and that the second stage rockets are ready to ignite. We can see a great contrail as it's going through the stratosphere. Inboard engines have cut out, waiting for the outboard or outside engines to go off. We will be able to see that if we can get a view beyond the very...
30 miles high, standing by for the outboard engine cut down now.
It's hard to see because the sun is shining right at us. It's almost going past the sun from our viewpoint here. There it was. There was staging. We could see it from the ground. That was Armstrong reporting staging and ignition.
And you can see it.
You can still see it burning.
11 Houston, thrust is go. All engines, you're looking good.
Brilliantly. Brilliantly clear day. We can still see it.
Downrange 70 miles, 43 miles high, velocity 9,300 feet per second.
He's just, the rocket plume has just gone through the skirt separation reported.
Roger, skirt tower's gone. Roger, tower.
Neil Armstrong confirming both the engine skirt separation and the launch escape tower separation.
Houston, be advised, the visual is go today.
The visual is go today.
This is Houston, roger out.
Said Mike Collins.
Just right.
The only time you give me a window to look out.
They can see, too.
Can
they're out of sight now.
Houston, your guidance has converged. You're looking good.
Everything is by sound. Transmission's back to
240 miles, altitude 62 miles, velocity 10,300 feet per second.
Going past the speed of sound now.
11 Houston, you are a go at 4 minutes.
Roger.
4 minutes from liftoff, passing the speed of sound, picking up speed, continuing toward that orbital velocity.
Apollo 11 right on the ground track.
Orbital velocity of some 17,500 miles per hour. Apollo 11 certainly got off to a beautiful start. Everything we could see here at the Cape.
90 miles downrange now, 72 miles high, velocity 11,000 feet per second.
Past the speed of sound, past Mach 1, going toward twice the speed of sound, and then even beyond. They've got a lot more speed to pick up, a lot more energy to put into this system before it goes into Earth orbit, and then later today, more energy and transfer toward the moon. Apollo 11, 5 minutes after liftoff from here at Cape Kennedy, well on its way to the moon.
Booster says it's looking good at 5 minutes.
Then Houston, you are go at 5 minutes.
Roger, Apollo 11, go.
You're hearing good communication from Apollo 11. That was Armstrong reporting back.
Downrange 270 miles, altitude 82 miles, velocity 12,472 feet per second.
Fly to S4B to COI capability.
Okay.
Mark, S4B to COI capability.
Roger.
Apollo 11 could now get into orbit using the S4B if necessary.
You're sitting in your living room.
Thank you. You all are coming through beautifully, too.
You're hearing Mission Control in Houston. You're hearing commands go up from the capsule communicator, and you're hearing Neil Armstrong answering Roger, acknowledging them quickly and efficiently.
That Everyone's reporting go here in the control center.
Oh, it's 6 minutes. Starting to give them orders.
Roger 11, your go from the ground at 6 minutes.
Everything continuing to burn well in the second stage.
Let's find out what it is.
It burns up until 9 minutes and 11 seconds.
Our data's jumping all around.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Level fence arm at 8 plus 1-7.
Yeah, it was.
Outboard cutoff at 9 plus 1-1.
They've got it.
9 minutes, 11 seconds when the outboard engines cut off. You heard Armstrong report that data was jumping around.
Level sense arm is the sequence that arranges the staging between the second stage and the third stage. The fuel uncovers a sensor starting that sequence.
Here on the ground, the launch pad is smoking, a great plume of smoke.
Predicting that will be uncovered
okay,
at 8 minutes, 17 seconds. Outboard engine cut off, 9 minutes, 11 seconds on the second stage.
Apollo 11, go at 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Houston, roger, your go from the ground at 7 minutes. Level sense arm at 8 plus 1-7. Outboard cut off at 9 plus 1-1.
Roger.
2 more minutes till second stage engine cutoff.
Downrange 530 miles, altitude 95 miles, velocity 17,358 feet per second.
Continuing to pick up speed very, very fast. 7 minutes and 32 seconds after liftoff. About another minute and a half for the second stage S2 engines.
Apollo 11 still right down the ground track, still go at 7 minutes, 41 seconds.
We'll miss the first of the burn.
Roger, we confirm.
Inboard engines are out on the second stage as planned.
The inboard engines cut off right on schedule. The outboard engines or outside engines in the second stage continuing to burn. They've got another 2 minutes. Not quite 2 minutes. 1 minute from now. Great plume of smoke from the exhaust of the rocket has now formed a cloud that's going up into the sky several thousand feet. It's made one great cumulus ball.
Apollo 11, go on all sources.
Then you are go at 8 minutes.
Has just built the mixture ratio shift.
Roger, we got PU shift down here too.
That communication was a little unclear. One comment from on board the spacecraft. Couldn't quite understand it.
11, this is Houston. You are a go for staging.
We're out for 10 seconds away from S4.
Stand by for mode 4 capability.
To mode 4.
Mark, mode 4 capability.
Mode 4, Apollo 11 could get into orbit using the service propulsion system.
PDQ 602 up here.
Altitude is 100 miles, downrange 883 miles.
PDQ 602.
Outboard engine cutoff.
Ignition confirmed. Thrust is go, 11.
700 PSI. 697, there we are.
And we have a good third stage now.
Third stage, the S4B is burning. You heard several minutes ago that speed had been achieved so that this third stage could get it into orbit.
23,128 feet per second.
Over twice the speed of sound.
1,000 miles, altitude 101 miles.
D1 is on number 5, if you know. Chuck, 718.
Some 1,800 kilometers away, downrange out across the Atlantic.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. At 10 minutes, you are go.
The spacecraft crossed Bermuda. And we'll go out across the Atlantic Ocean.
Giving the reports.
D1's on line 5, Chuck.
You're hearing Jack Riley as the voice of Mission Control in Houston, and you're also hearing communication from the air to ground.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Predicted cutoff at 11 plus 42. Over.
1142, Rich.
Still another couple of minutes.
Downrange 1,175 miles. Velocity 24,190 miles feet per second. Altitude 102 nautical miles.
All right.
One more minute of this burn, and then they should be in orbit around the Earth.
Apollo 11 still go on all sources.
The Saturn V, the most powerful known rocket on Earth, performing perfectly.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. You are go at 11.
There you go.
30 seconds till engine cutoff.
We're predicting third stage shutdown at 11 minutes, 42 seconds.
20 seconds more. The third stage, the S4B.
Velocity 25,254 feet per second. Downrange 1,400 miles now. Altitude 102.8 nautical miles.
Should have cutoff. There it was.
Shut down right on time.
101.4 by 103.6.
Roger, shut down, and we copy 101.4 by 103.6.
101.4 by 103.6 nautical mile orbit. That looks very good for an Earth orbit. We'll get confirmation
Apollo
11, of orbit.
This is Houston. You are confirmed to go for orbit.
Go for orbit. Some noise coming in from one of the tracking stations as they're out over the Atlantic Ocean.
This is Houston. The booster is safe.
Booster has been safe so that it will not fire unnecessarily.
Show velocity at insertion 25,568 feet per second.
There was Jack Riley, as the voice of Mission Control, reporting the velocity, and also we repeat that they're in a 101.4 by 103.6 mile orbit around the Earth. They are now in Earth orbit. They will stay in this orbit for some 2 hours and 25 minutes more from this point before the scheduled translunar injection burn. At this point, the spacecraft is out over the center of the Atlantic Ocean.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. The booster has been configured for orbital coast. Both spacecraft are looking good. Over.
The spacecraft is moving south of the Azores, and within the next 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, should pass across Canary Islands and across the continent of Africa, 100 nautical miles above the surface, in Earth orbit. The command module, lunar module, and third stage, or S-4B rocket, all attached as one great spacecraft, now in Earth orbit. Some 2 hours and 25 minutes before the next major burn, which should send them on the way toward the moon, away from Earth orbit. Bill Land, how about it? Now you've witnessed one of these Saturn V launches from right here on the pad before. How did that feel to you as it rattled and shook the Earth around us?
Well, I'll tell you, Rhett, this one was even more impressive than the last one I saw, which was from the Launch Control Center just adjacent to our site here. But being out in the open as we are, out where you can really feel that engine, it's very, very impressive.
You have been in the Launch Control Center in the past, and it must feel very different from inside a building than here standing on the Earth with the Earth shaking around you.
Well, that's right. Now, you can hear the windows shake in the Launch Control Center, but it's still not quite the same as feeling that that engine noise come right through
your chest. Let's go to Apollo Control.
Third stage of Saturn V. Here on the ground, we're showing an orbit of 102.5 by 99.7 nautical miles. The flight dynamics officer, Dave Reed, wants to get some radar tracking to refine this orbit, and he will report a refined orbit after more radar tracking.
There we had a little better cut, as it's called, at the orbit, as the flight dynamics officer is continuing to refine data. It now looks to him like 102.5 by 99.7 nautical miles.
It's getting closer to that circular 100 nautical mile orbit.
As they're continuing to track it. The air to ground is rather noisy as they're getting out over Canary Island, coming within range of Canaries. The noise just dropped, so maybe Canaries locked in good and solid there at that point. Liftoff 16 minutes ago. The spacecraft has burned all three stages of the huge Saturn V rocket, and it couldn't have been a more perfect liftoff, a more perfect view, a more perfect performance of the rocket built, designed, conceived strictly to send American astronauts to the moon. And so far, it has done its job right on the money, perfectly. Bill McCrory in Washington, how did that appear to you there in our broadcast control center?
Well, here in our Apollo News Center, we were as much thrilled, I think, as you and the many thousands of people on the beach at Cape Kennedy. We watched many, in fact, almost all of the manned space launches from the first Alan Shepard launch back there in about 1961. But there's always a moment of thrill when you see the smoke, the flames billowing out from that big Saturn V booster. We are now 17 minutes into the flight of Apollo 11, the spacecraft moving off the east coast of Africa. They're in a near-circular Earth parking orbit of 102.5 by 99.7 nautical miles, or about 190 by 185 kilometers. We'll get further confirmation of that orbit a little later when some of the telemetry and the radar checks are made. We'll hear that, of course, from Apollo Mission Control. I think we mentioned earlier on the fact that there are many dignitaries watching this launch, or were watching it. Many members of Congress, the diplomatic corps, the Vice President of the United States, and the former President of the United States, Lyndon Johnson. As Vice President, he was Chairman of the U.S. Space Council. He's there, and Some people did not get the official invitations, but they are there too, of course, as we mentioned earlier, by the thousands on the beach. CBS newsman Haywood Hale Bruin reported from the beach near the launch site sometime prior to liftoff.
In the hierarchical world in which we live, there have been many kinds of invitations to the space shot: diplomatic, political, military, business. And for those who didn't get an invitation at all, there are places like this, on the beach, where there will be a brief and searing and marvelous view of the flame going up. Lots of these people have been here overnight, and some are pouring in now. They've all had various troubles to deal with. We have been subjected several times to spray for mosquitoes. I don't know what it's doing to the mosquitoes, but all our wings are a trifle crumpled here on the beach. And the big thing that everyone is asking is, where is it? People ask each other, and we have been given about 27 different places, so we're all just going to keep scanning the horizon continually. And we're all very comfortable here, feeling better than the people who are still in their cars trying to get here. A lot of people have slept here overnight in the kind of plastic world of the camper, in the little tent, the box of food and whatnot. And everybody is in a state of high excitement and a little nervous because they don't want to be looking the wrong way when the thing goes off. And having some have driven from as far away as California to get here. And some have got here early last night and not slept at all. But to all of them, there is a kind of feeling of being, you could see it perhaps better on television, but you can, like those who were with Henry V at Agincourt, say when you were old, I was there when they took off for the moon.
That was CBS newsman Haywood Hale Bruin reporting a short time ago from the beach at Cape Kennedy. We've had the successful launch of Apollo 11 at precisely 13 hours 32 Greenwich Mean Time. That flight now 20 minutes old, moving off the east coast of Africa. John Hammersmith is our navigator. Where is it precisely?
It is precisely over the Canary Islands right now, Bill. Just about ready to come in over the Spanish Sahara and Mauritania.
And once again, that Earth parking orbit, 102.5 by 99.7 nautical miles, 190 by 185 kilometers. A near circular orbit. I think at this point, gentlemen, we might discuss for a moment the next step in our flight to the moon, our eight-day journey for a moon landing. After about 1.5 orbits around the moon, we have another go, no-go decision in about 2 hours or so. What enters into this decision on whether or not to fire the third stage engine? I should mention, too, that the third stage, the S-4B, is still attached to the spacecraft. And we'll fire up that engine again to place the spacecraft on its way to the moon. That is, to pull it out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. John Hammersmith?
Well, Bill, I think perhaps the easiest way to visualize what is going on here and what we'll be looking for is to consider this period of time in Earth orbit as a pre-launch period. They'll be checking out all of the systems in much the same way that they were checked out on the launch pad. And only if they look as good to them now as they did on the launch pad will that go decision be given.
Here is Apollo Mission Control.
Orbital period is 1 hour, 28 minutes, 16 seconds. This number will be refined as we get better information on the orbit through radar tracking. At the present time, we're showing an orbital period of 1 hour, 28 minutes, 17 seconds. We'll continue to stand by live through the Canaries station.
That was Apollo Mission Control, Jack Riley, reporting on the latest position of the spacecraft. And John Hammersmith, you were right. Just off the Canary Islands, we should have acquisition there, voice acquisition from the spacecraft. Well, we were beginning to talk just a moment about this go-no-go decision for translunar injection, is the term, the decision to send the spacecraft onto the moon in about a couple of hours from now, if all goes well. I interrupted you, John.
Well, I managed to get in just about all I was going to say, Bill, before you interrupted me. I was just saying that that they'll be looking at all the systems in much the same way as is done on the launch pad. The exception or the difference is that there are no hardwire connections now between this vehicle and the launch pad, and what checking is done on the ground will be done by telemetry, and there will be quite a bit of reliance on the onboard checking out.
Well, when that thrust is made, it actually boosts the speed of the spacecraft considerably, doesn't it, to what we call escape velocity. Let's go to mission control.
Canary Island Station has loss of signal from Apollo 11. We have a tape of the air ground during the launch phase. We'll play that for you now.
Roger, clock.
This is a playback.
Roger, we got a roll program.
Of air ground communication. With the astronauts, Commander Armstrong, Collins, and Aldrin. They're not very talkative.
Roll's complete and the pitch is programming.
Rhett Turner, can you identify these voices? Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy.
This is a tape playback, as Bill said there. That was Armstrong answering. Mostly you're hearing capsule communication. That was the capsule communicator. A replay of the recording made as the rocket lifted off. Time has not been capsulized here. You're hearing very little from Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins. Most of the...
That should be a good sign, Rhett.
They were busy and they were doing their jobs, watching all the systems on board. We've said that so many times, watching all the systems on board. It's a big systems watching job, gigantic watching job during this automatic phase.
Rhett Turner.
I think that it's so noisy here that we should just take my microphone out and listen. Very little conversation there. I don't think that as you recall, we heard very, very little during this period, Bill.
We're still waiting for communications. This is the least talkative group of astronauts in quite some time. Or maybe they're very, very busy at this point in time.
Let's see, we've heard about 2 minutes of this replay. This was during a period that the first stage engines, the F1 engines, were picking up, going through maximum dynamic pressure at about this point.
Well, Rhett, we're going to have to leave the air here, and very shortly, we come to the end of part one of the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 11, man's first attempt to land on the moon. After a successful launching, precisely on time at 13 hours 32 GMT, the Apollo 11 spacecraft is in an Earth parking orbit. It is now some 27 minutes into the flight, moving over the east coast of Africa. The next critical point in the lunar landing flight comes in about 2 hours from now when a go-no-go decision is made for translunar insertion, a decision on whether or not to refire the big S-4 engine and send it on to the moon. The Voice of America will return to the air with full coverage of this important step in the mission toward a moon landing. We'll be back at 16 hours GMT in just 2 hours from now. This program has come to you from the United States of America.